الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today inshallah sisters, we will have class number 3 in the classes of the month of Ramadan, 1431 Hijri 2010. And actually, from today, we will have the classes of the answered supplications. And inshallah, we will start today with the answered supplications for recovery of sickness. We will learn some answers, 4 answered supplications, okay, for recovery of sickness. We will learn the supplication and we will learn its answer. So that inshallah you will be using this supplication if you have sickness or for any whom you are looking inshallah that Allah will recover them. Today inshallah we will start to learn about a group of answered supplications from the Quran and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can do dua to Allah with this supplication, hoping that the Most Merciful will answer them. At the beginning, let us learn some of the facts which are related to our life and to our belief in Allah. First, sisters, we must believe that this worldly life is a test. We will read now from Surah number 67, verse number 2, to learn about this fact. Actually, before learning about the answered supplication, we will learn very important facts related to every supplication, so that inshallah you will realize why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing some of us with the sickness, what is behind it, how we can get the blessings of the being sick, and also how we can call on Allah for recovery inshallah. So number 1, let us learn that our worldly life is a test. We will read now from Surah number 67, verse number 2. I chose this topic for this month of Ramadan for the sake of one of my, alhamdulillah, very close sister Rumelia. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that by the end of Ramadan, sister Rumelia and me and all the sick Muslims, inshallah, will have recovery. So sister Rumelia will be the one to read with me in this month, inshallah, so that inshallah, when she will recover totally, she will listen to these classes and remember this month of Ramadan. So come here. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور.
Blessed is he in whose hand is the dominion, and he is able to do all things, who has created death and life that he may test you, which of you is best indeed. And he is the Almighty, the All-Forgiving.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that this life is a test. Everyone will be accountable for his deeds on the Day of Judgment. Also, sisters, we will read now from Surah number 47, verse number 31, to know the Quranic rule related to the worldly life. Surah number 47, Surah Muhammad, verse number 31. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم حتى نعلم المجاهدين منكم والصابرين ونبلو أخباركم.
And surely we shall try you till we test those who strive hard, and we shall test your facts.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that he will try us in this worldly life test, until the reality of every one of us will be proven. Okay, now again we will read inshallah from Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah number 29, verse number 1, 2 and 3, in order to realize the importance of realizing that this worldly life is a test. Surah number 29, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 1, 2 and 3, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين.
ألف لام ميم. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say, we believe and will not be tested? And we indeed tested those who were before them. And Allah will certainly make known those who are true and will certainly make it known those who are liars. Allah knows all that before putting them to test.
Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to every one of us that belief is not a word to be said, but belief is a reality that imposes duties. Belief is a trust that carries requirement. Belief is a struggle that demands patience. We all are subjected to hardships and trial to prove our sincerity and to prove our true metal. Just as gold is tested with fire so as to separate it from the cheap elements. We must believe that Allah knows what people harbor in their hearts before any hardship or trial. But the test reveals in practice what is known to Allah, yet hidden from human knowledge. Allah makes people accountable for what they actually do, and this is an act of justice and grace. Again and again, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth all what will happen until the day of judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worldly life is giving to every one of us an opportunity to prove his or her reality, so that on the day of judgment, none will complain to Allah, oh Allah, I didn't do that, oh Allah, I have a different intention, oh Allah, circumstances were not clear for me. This is not acceptable with Allah, because Allah's actions are all the actions of justice and grace. So this is the reality why we are exposed to this actually trials and hardships to prove our reality. Being tested is a divine decree. It is part of Allah's wisdom and justice. And it is shown in poverty and wealth, sickness and health, fear and security, shortage and abundance. Let us read in the Quran from Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, verse number 168, to learn about the divine decree related to our test in the worldly life. Surah number 7, verse number 168. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. الرحمن الرحيم بلوناهم بالحسنات والسيئات لعلهم يرجعون.
And we try them with good and evil in order that they might turn to Allah's obedience.
Okay, so this is the rule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the test in the form of hardships and also in the form of blessings, so that inshallah we can realize that everything is up to Allah, and at the end, sisters, everyone will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must return to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the reality that in the worldly life there are hardships and there are blessings for every human being. We are not supposed to live our life under the impression that I am the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting on me all the burden. I am the one always living in hardships and trials. And most of the human beings are living life in blessing, in the blessings of Allah. This is totally wrong concept. Everyone in this worldly life is living the test, and the test means hardships, trials, and blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants every one of us to prove her reality regarding the true belief in Him and the obedience to His commands. We will read also this again from Surah Al-Anbiya. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 21, verse number 35. A'udhu billahi minash. Surah number 21, verse number 35. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. كل نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون.
Everyone is going to test death, and we shall make a trial of you with evil and with good, and to us you will be returned.
You see, sisters, again and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us the nature of the worldly life so that we will not be deceived with the blessings of the worldly life. The worldly life is a blessing, yes, and also hardship. There are blessings, yes, but there are also trials. Okay, oh Allah, what is the goal behind exposing us for these hardships and trials? To prove your reality. To prove that you are patient, to prove that you are accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prove that this worldly life is just a passage to the real life, which is the paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying these facts in the Quran so that on the day of judgment, none will say to Allah, oh Allah, I don't know that I was in a test. Oh Allah, I don't know that I was supposed to have obedience to your commands. Oh Allah, I was not sure that I will return to you. It is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the Quran, all the facts related to our worldly life and to the hereafter is clear to everyone, so that everyone is free to choose the way of life according to the reality, according to the truth mentioned in the Quran. Life full of hardships and trials. I must realize this fact, and I must be aware that I am in a test. I must obey Allah and accept and be patient, because this is a test. A test means difficult time, hard time. Life is not fun. Life is the most important test which you are supposed to prepare yourself for it. I must be all the time aware that I am in a test. When a sister will come and tell me, Sister Mona, stop classes, enjoy life, you are sick, I tell her, no sister, I am in a test. I can forget about my duties towards myself. Because so long I am in a test, I want to get the highest grades in that test. Not because Allah is in need of my good deeds. Allah is not in need of anyone. But the most merciful teaches us in the Quran that be aware, you are in the test, you will return to me, and you will be accountable for your deeds in the worldly life. Accordingly, my sister, I am very serious with my deeds in the worldly life, with my time in the worldly life, with my responsibilities in the worldly life, because life is a test. Okay? And also, my dearest sister, now I am living in ease, in a time where I am living the blessings of Allah, but Allah mentioned that there are hardships. Maybe after 1 year I will be very sick, I will be very ill, I will not be able to come to the masjid, I will not be able to pray at night, I will not be able to revise my Quran. So let me now utilize every minute and every hour in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because life is a test. hardships are around. I am not sure when the next hardship will start in my life. So let me utilize the time for my own sake. I need to collect as I can while I'm still healthy. This is, sisters, how we are supposed to live the worldly life. And while I am living the worldly life with this feeling, I am not supposed to be upset or sad or not happy. No. So long you know the truth, so long everything is clear for you, you will be relaxed and you will be balanced. Why? Because I know the reality. Those whom they are not living the reality, those whom they are deceiving themselves with the deceiving enjoyment of the worldly life, those are the people whom they are never balanced and they are never happy and they are never functioning well in the worldly life. Because part of the balance for the spirit is to know the truth. And this is the truth. And I know the truth from the source of the truth, the creator of the heavens and earth. He clarified to me the truth. I believe in it. I plan my life. I am so relaxed. Hardship will come. Patience is there. Hardship will come. Supplication is there. Hardship will come. Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Alhamdulillah. Allah said in the Quran, with every hardship there is ease. So this is how we believers, in reality, this is the benefit of learning the Quran. This is the benefit of understanding the message of the Quran, not just reciting the Quran with music or just reciting the Quran in Arabic without understanding it, sister. The message of the Quran is the message which will make you to balance in the worldly life, then to have a goal, then inshallah to have priorities and to have responsibilities, and inshallah every day you will feel that, oh Allah, I am so thankful. I am so thankful to you. Whether I am in hardship, I am in trials, I am in ease, still I am so thankful to you because you clarified to me the truth and you made me to have the plan in this life according to the reality of the worldly life, not according to the deceiving ideas of the rest of the human being. Life is fun, let us enjoy it, let us today enjoy everything, tomorrow Allah will take care of it, Allah is the most merciful, Allah will forgive the sins, so let us be sinners. All of this is totally wrong, and be sure, sister, that this kind of people, they are just saying words. I am happy, I am enjoying, it is fun. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never shower the peace, the security, and the happiness except in the spirits of those whom they know the Quran as a message, whom they live the Quran as a message, whom they understand the truth related to the worldly life and the hereafter. So all the time try to realize the truth and then adjust yourself according to the realities, okay? And inshallah be sure that Allah will support you and will take care of you during the hardships, which you will learn about it in these answered supplications in the month of Ramadan. So now we learn that there are blessings and there are hardships in the worldly life. Now we will learn, sisters, a very important fact which everyone of us must be sure of, which is that destiny is undoubtedly previously determined. Okay? There is no way to change your destiny at all. Okay? This fact is very important for every one of us, so that instead of wasting my life to try to change my destiny, which will never happen, it is better. And actually it is the right way to accept the destiny. Okay, to try to realize that there is always an ease with every hardship. To try to realize that the reward of patience is unlimited. Okay, this is how we are supposed to get the benefit of the message of the Quran. None can change her destiny. Why? We will learn now from Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6, verse number 38. Surah number 6, verse number 38. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما من دابة في الأرض ولا طائر يطير بجناحيه إلا أمم أمثالكم ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء ثم إلى ربهم يحشرون.
There is not a moving living creature on earth, nor a bird that flies with its two wings, but our communities like you, we have neglected nothing in the book. Then unto their Lord they shall be gathered.
You see, sister, I want you to realize the words. Allah said, we have neglected nothing in the book. Everything is written in the book. Okay, before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So I must realize that destiny is undoubtedly previously determined. Okay, it is written in the book. Before the creation of the earth, before the creation of any of the human being, everything is already written. Okay, we will read also from Surah Al-Hadid, Surah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 57, verse number 22, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a verse of the Quran which we always read in our classes, sister, so that all the time, alhamdulillah, you will be sure that whatever Allah decreed for you will never change. Then try to live it according to the rules of the Quran. Inshallah, it will be easy for you. Allah said in the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, Surah number 57, verse number 22 and 23. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ma asaba min musibatin fil ardi wala fi anfusikum illa fi kitabin min qabli an nabraha. إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور.
No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourself, but it is inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring it into existence. Verily, that is easy for Allah.
This one.
24. In order that you may not grieve at the things over that you fail to get, nor rejoice over that which has been given to you. And Allah likes not prideful boasters.
Okay. So sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that no calamity befalls on the earth or in ourselves, but it is inscribed in the book of the decree before we bring it into existence. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah first created the pen, He ordered it to write. It asked, the pen asked Allah, what should I write? Allah answered, write down the destiny of all things until the day of judgment. Okay? But now, sisters, I will give you glad tidings from the most merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must know that supplication has a rule regarding afflictions. You see, sister, this fact, most of the Muslims are not aware of it, and it is extremely important. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, caution will not save you from what Allah has decreed, but supplication benefits with respect to what has befallen and to what has not fallen. Indeed, supplication and the impending affliction will contend with one another until the day of judgment. Okay? What is the meaning of this, sisters? I want to clarify to you this fact regarding supplication so that you will realize how supplication is very important for the believer and why supplication is highly ranked regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that everything is written in the book before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And nothing can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, caution will not save you. Okay, but supplication, okay, benefits you with respect to what has befallen, okay, the calamity or the trial which I am living now, and what has not fallen. Okay, what is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this, sister, is that suppose it is written for me to become sick, okay? And it is written for me that I will be doing supplications all the time to be cured very quickly. Both are written. Your supplications are written. So try to supplicate to Allah day and night. Whenever you have any second, while you are driving the car, while you are cleaning, supplicate to Allah so that your supplication will be part of your decree. And your supplication will prevent some of the calamities which were supposed to be part of your decree, but because of your supplication you prevent it. Okay? Because there are many sisters whom they don't understand the rule of supplication regarding the decree and the calamities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are a true believer in Allah, you will be always doing supplication. Supplication is part of your decree. Okay, those whom they don't supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the calamities for them will be not affected by their supplication. It will be always very severe. But for the true believers whom they always do supplication, now I am sick, for example, I have pain in my knee joints. And there is another sister whom she also has pain in her knee joints. Okay, the same medical problem exactly. Okay. For example, I am all the time doing dua, oh Allah, make the pain less for me. Oh Allah, make the medicine to work for me. Oh Allah, give me the strength in my knees. Oh Allah, this is written for me, okay, with my illness. So, I will feel that, alhamdulillah, there is some improvement. Alhamdulillah, more hours I am out of the pain. All praise to Allah, I feel improving. The other sister, whom she is never doing dua or supplication. Supplication is not in her decree, so she will never feel improvement. Her illness will be longer. Her sickness will be more, more severe. Okay? She doesn't know. She doesn't know that she was supposed to supplicate to Allah day and night or whenever she can, so that supplication will be part of her decree. This is out of our ignorance in relation to, the knowledge of Islam. Okay? Be sure that supplication is the only way to interfere with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are the true believer whom you love to supplicate to Allah, you believe in the power of supplication, the only power to interfere with the decree is the power of supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be from those whom their supplication will save them from the severe calamities. The calamities will not change, but they will be less effective. But there will be a cure. But there will be the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows the best how issues can change. But be sure and believe that supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only way to benefit with respect to what has befallen and to what has not fallen. Again and again, sisters. Because today it is about sickness, okay? The answer supplications are about sickness. Suppose I am a sick person, okay? And I have pain. And that sister is also the same. For me, when I will pray Dhuhr prayer, I will say, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, I am calling you, I am begging you, I am in great need of you, I am very weak, oh Allah. This is what Allah said in the Quran, call on me and I will answer you. I tried the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be sure, sister, that this is part of my decree. Inshallah, number one, I will feel relieved psychologically. Because I will feel that all praise to Allah. Now I do dua to Allah. This means that inshallah, Allah will answer my supplication. So I will be better. So I feel that tomorrow will be better than today. So I can do everything. Psychologically, I will be very high up with my supplication. This is number one. Okay? Number two, I will be all the time having the hope that tomorrow I will cure because I do supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I will wake up tomorrow, I will wake up with very high mood. Why? Because I am looking for the cure which I called on Allah and He promised that He will answer me. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to answer the supplication. So be sure that inshallah, one day I will be cured. This is how the true believer will live her life, okay, while she is supplicating to Allah all the time. If you watch the other sister whom she's saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused me to be sick, Allah wants me to be sick, so I am praying for the sake of Allah. Someone will tell her, do dua. She will say, How can I change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No one can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants to cure me, He will cure me. If He doesn't want, He will not. Okay, He will never be cured, at least psychologically. Because you are telling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not do dua, supplication. Allah said in the Quran, commanded, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah said, do supplication to me and I will answer you. Okay? So sisters, be aware of this. This is the secrets of the dua. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers those whom they have clean hearts with these secrets. Okay? Don't stop supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything and for anything. Even when someone will tell you this can never happen, tell her, sister, you don't know anything about the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah wants something to happen, He will say be and it will be. And if Allah delays the recovery, it is for the wisdom which I am accepting. And I am looking for the cure. And I am sure that everything for my sake, and I will do to Allah more and more and more. This is how you can show and prove to Allah that you obey His command regarding the supplication, that you believe that His will can do everything, that you are all the time accepting His decree. Sisters, this is the secret of the peace, tranquility, and happiness in the worldly life. To connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the correct connection. A slave and a lord. A slave living calamities and hardships, and the Lord who controls everything. He commanded us to do some commands. You want to obey Him and supplicate? Well and good. You will be the winner. You don't want to supplicate. It will be your decree which you choose. Okay? And there will be these two human beings always try to look around you in the worldly life. The first group whom I try to say I am one of them, inshallah, they are very late. Those whom they are always supplicating, they have the hope, they never lose the hope. Allah will cure me, I am sure 100%, even I am on a wheelchair, but Allah is with me. And this kind of feeling towards Allah, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until the cure will come, as the second which Allah planned for, and all praise to Allah, I am thankful to Him. I am very close to Him. I am getting the reward of obeying the command of supplication. I am having the reward of being patient. I have the reward of accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most important, sister, that all praise to Allah, I am functioning normally. I am not crying day and night. I am not saying, oh Allah, why I am the one who is supposed to have this? No, I am not happy. I am sad. I will not cook. I will not help. If one sister will call me and tell me, sister Mona, I want you to do for me this and that, I tell, no, I will not help anyone. Now I am in hardship. They are enjoying life, going out and spending time. I am in bed most of the time. I will never help anyone. I will make my heart, I will have a dark heart, which is full of envy, hatred, and all of this. Why, sister? Who is the loser? Who is the loser? Allah is the loser? Allah is never the loser. Allah is everything. Who is the loser? You are the loser. Those whom they live the life, most of the human being. Most of the human being are living their life with this mentality. Since I am in hardship, I will not help anyone. I will not be happy. I will not be enjoying the time. I will complain from my life. What is this? Complain. Go ahead and complain. You will be in more hardship. Your hardship will be more and more because you are showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am not happy with your decree. This is not accepted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will put that person in more and more troubles. So sisters, let us always appreciate the power of supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe that so long you call on Him, Allah will take care of you and inshallah your situation will be better. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever among you has the door to supplication open to him, then he has the gates of mercy open to him. Allah is not asking anything to be given more beloved to him than for someone to ask for well-being. Supplication benefits with respect to what has fallen and to what has not fallen. Therefore, worshippers of Allah engage in supplication. This is the command of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sisters. And again, I want to clarify to you this very important point. Whoever among you has the door of supplication open to him, then he has the gates of mercy open to him. There are many people whom they cannot do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you tell her, sister, if you are not happy with your life, do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she will tell you, no, I cannot do dua. I don't know why I cannot do dua. She cannot do dua because the gates of mercy are closed to her. Dua equals the gates of mercy, because whenever you will supplicate to him, he will never send your hands empty under any circumstances. You will get a benefit. Raising the hands to Allah equal blessings from Allah. Either your problem, your supplication will be answered, or Allah will prevent a calamity equal to that supplication, or Allah will reward you with that supplication in the day of judgment. So whenever I raise my hands, I will receive a blessing. Those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the gates of mercy for them are those whom they cannot do dua to Allah, supplication. So all the time, sister, have it one of your priorities when you pray during the prayers, when you are down in prostration, when you say Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la, Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la, Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la, okay, all the time, don't raise your head quickly from prostration, stay down. In few seconds, you will start mentioning to Allah whatever in the depths of your heart which you don't like anyone to know about. Okay, and this is the secret of supplication. You will get rid of all the troubles. You will get rid of all the worry. You will get rid of all the confusion. I don't know what to do tomorrow. Maybe if I go to work, maybe this will happen. If I don't go, oh Allah help me, oh Allah guide me, oh Allah support me, oh Allah provide me, oh Allah my son, oh Allah my daughter, oh Allah. After 2 or 3 minutes, you will feel that something very big changed in your spirit. You get rid of all what you don't know what to do with, and you don't want to ask anyone, and you don't want anyone to know about your this private problems. So again and again, sisters, appreciate supplication. Appreciate that Allah is helping you to supplicate. Appreciate that when you raise your hands to Allah, this means that the gates of mercy are open to you. Okay? And again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Allah likes those whom they supplicate to him. So make Allah to love you. Call on him and have the hope in him. In conclusion, supplication brings relief from affliction which has not fallen. For example, I am worried that maybe my daughter will not marry. For example, I am worried. So I will do dua from now. Oh Allah, I pray to you, oh Allah, that my daughter inshallah will marry. Oh Allah, make it easy. Oh Allah, oh Allah. This supplication is part of my decree. Okay? So this supplication, inshallah, Allah will put it with my decree and with the decree of my daughter. So inshallah, she will be married. When and where, this is none of anyone's business. This is Allah, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for me, okay, I will be all the time feeling relief that I am calling on Allah for the marriage of my daughter, and inshallah Allah promised to answer. So alhamdulillah, when Romania will tell me, Sister Mona, did your daughter marry? I will tell her inshallah. She will tell me, did she marry? I told her no. But inshallah she will marry. She will ask me, how you are so sure? I tell her, because Allah said, call on me and I will answer you, and I am calling on him, and Allah is the one to fulfill the promise. Inshallah, she will be married. She will tell me, so when, Sister Mona? I tell her, no, Sister Romilia. I am true believer in the oneness of Allah. The unseen is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will plan the marriage for my daughter, inshallah, it will come. I am waiting for that day. And I am sure that it is up to the out of his wisdom and mercy, he will plan that day. Okay? So this is, sisters, how we can live the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That we are making a supplication for somebody, you're saying for your daughter to get married.
Okay.
But suppose that your daughter or my sister who is sick, and I'm supplicating to get for her to get better, she's not doing any supplication.
This is wrong. Yes, this is
wrong. So I'm doing all the work and I'm asking Allah to heal their illness or for my daughter to get married, but they are not doing anything.
No,
how is Allah going to respond to
that? I will tell you. Actually, we must learn that everyone must supplicate to herself. Then others also can supplicate. Because Allah said, call on me. Okay? Who is supposed to call on Allah, number one? The one who is in the trouble. Okay? Because Allah said, call on me and I will answer your supplication. So everyone who is in trouble must supplicate to herself. Okay, then others must also, they have the right to supplicate. And because of that, when one sister will come and tell me, Sister Mona, supplicate for me, I will tell her, supplicate for yourself first. Then inshallah, I will include you with my supplication. This is the command of Allah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond, this is up to him. Okay, he knows, I don't know. But you must advise everyone to do dua for herself. Okay, done. I will continue, then I will give Marcella at the end, because I want to give you four supplications, inshallah, today. Okay, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing reverses divine decree except supplication. You see, sisters, suppose I am pregnant, and I am, inshallah, looking for a healthy baby. I am not supposed to say, if Allah wants the baby to be healthy, he will be healthy. If Allah doesn't want, it will not be. So, what can I do? This is wrong. This is not accepted in Islam. In Islam, you must supplicate. When you supplicate to Allah to give you a healthy baby, your supplication will be part of your decree. So, inshallah, you will have a healthy baby. When you will have a healthy baby, one sister will come and tell you, mashallah, a healthy baby, you tell her, I was supplicating to Allah from the first day of pregnancy. Every minute, every time, every prayer, I am supplicating to Allah, and all praise to Allah, Allah answered my supplication. Okay? So, sister, we should make every effort to engage in supplication all the time. And especially, actually, I choose this topic of supplication because of the request of my dearest sister Rumelia, because we are at the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Month of Ramadan is the month when the gates of the heavens are opened. So the dua, inshallah, will be answered. In the month of Ramadan, when you break your fast, you have an answered supplication. So try to use that answer supplication, inshallah. In the month of Ramadan, there is Laylatul Qadr, the night of Al-Qadr, when all the angels will be down and Jibreel will be down, and it is the night of peace. So try to do supplication to Allah. Nobody knows when it is the night of Al-Qadr. It is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Struggle in the night, last 10 nights of Ramadan, especially, okay, to wake up at 3 o'clock if the Fajr is at 5 o'clock, and sit on the prayer rag and pray, read the Quran and pray the night prayer two rak'ahs, and keep on doing dua to Allah. Repeat the dua to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes those whom they insist in their dua. Because when I insist in my dua, this is a proof that I believe that Allah, inshaAllah, can do it. Allah is the one to take care of everything. Nothing is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, sisters, we are about to start the month of Ramadan, inshaAllah. Sisters, for your own sake, if you want to prove to yourself that Allah loves you, inshaAllah, live the month of Ramadan as the month of fasting, Quran, and supplication. This is extremely important in the month of Ramadan. If you connect with Allah correctly in the month of Ramadan, you will feel the sweetness of supplication to Allah. Then it will be part of your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the rest of your life. All your life, you will be all the time The highest priority for you is to do supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either during the prayers or at any time. Okay? So this is why in the month of Ramadan, sisters, we must keep on doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for answer of our supplications. Today, inshaAllah, for this class, our answered supplications are related to recovery from illness. First, let us learn the following facts. Health is a blessing which only the sick one appreciate. Again and again, sisters, most of the human beings, they feel that a good health is for granted. Everyone is very healthy. What is the problem of having good health? No one appreciates the health except the sick ones. Okay, and actually do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make you from those whom they appreciate health when they become sick. Okay, because actually the price will be very high. Because sometimes people become sick and they never become healthy. Okay, so all the time be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that great blessing health. Number two, diseases and sicknesses. Sickness are widespread everywhere. Never was there a time or place where people were immune against diseases. Diseases are always around. And actually, sisters, the diseases or the sickness can be a blessing and an act of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to raise their rank and actually to forgive their sins. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no Muslim is afflicted with any harm but that his sins will be annulled as the leaf of a tree fall down. You know, when you have a tree and it have its leaves, when they fall down, you know, in autumn, when someone is sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the sins to be, you know, he will get rid of his sins. This is the true believer. This is the one who is accepting the decree. This is the one who always say, Allah, make me sick out of his mercy and wisdom. Oh Allah, I am accepting and I am patient. Not those whom, when they become sick, they don't accept the decree, they don't pray, they don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are frustrated with their sickness. They are not the ones to receive the reward. The reward is for those whom they accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do we have to be striking with diseases? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is atonement for your sins. A companion said, even if it is not serious. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if it is a thorn. If you have a thorn, any mild pain, inshallah, will be a source of forgiveness for your sins, keeping in the intention that you are accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited a man suffering from fever. He said, I have good news for you. Allah exalted be He says, this is my fire. This is the fever. This is my fire which I inflict the believer in this life to replace his share of torture in the hellfire in the hereafter. You see, sister, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful with everyone. Allah is merciful with the healthy ones because they have the blessings of good health. Allah is merciful with the sick ones because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making them to get rid of their sins and of the torment of the hellfire here in the worldly life. So all the time I must believe that Allah is the most merciful. Even if I am very sick, I am very ill, I must believe that Allah wants me to live the fire in this worldly life, which is the fever and the pain, better than to live it in the hereafter. Okay, but sister, again, this doesn't mean that sickness should be sought. On the contrary, the steadfast believer should not wish misfortunes. This is very important. Someone who listens to this class will say, oh Allah, I want to be sick. so that Allah will forgive my sin. This is totally wrong. Totally wrong. Okay? We must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the good health so that we can worship Him according, inshaAllah, to His rules. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pray for forgiveness and health. For next to faith, none has been granted a better blessing than a good health. You see, sister, this is the good health, which most of the people are not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Most of the people consider good health for granted. Okay? Prophet Muhammad is clarifying that the greatest blessing in life, number one, is the faith, the belief in the oneness in Allah. Number two is the good health. Not the kids, not the husband, not the wealth, nothing except the good health after faith. So, all the time be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good health and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because obedience is a way of being thankful to Allah for His blessings. Number two, let us learn this answer supplication for the recovery from the sickness, inshaAllah. InshaAllah, sisters, today we will learn four answer supplications for the recovery from sickness, and we will start with the two answer supplications of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. Now we will learn the story of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. It is from Ibn Kathir, the book of Ibn Kathir, the stories of the prophets. Okay, so that it will, this is the reference for what I will mention now. Okay, Prophet Ayyub, his name also is Job. Ayyub was, radiallahu anhu, he was repentant, remembering Allah with patience and thankfulness. This was the cause of the secret of Allah's praising him. Actually, a group of angels were discussing Allah's other creatures, how those were humble earned Allah's pleasure, while those who were arrogant regarding Allah's displeasure. What is the meaning of this? At the beginning, these were groups of angels whom they were discussing that there are some creatures, human beings, whom they are humble and they appreciate Allah's blessings. And there are others whom they are arrogant and they never appreciate Allah's blessings. But those angels, they said, one of them said, the best creature on the earth today is Ayyub, Job, a man of noble character who displays excellent patience and remembers his generous Lord. He is an excellent model for the worshippers of Allah. In return, his Lord has blessed him with a long life, plenty of riches, yet he is never selfish. His family, his servants, as well as the needy and the poor, they share in his good fortune. He feeds and clothes the poor and buys slaves to set them free. He makes those who receive his charity feel as if they are favoring him. He is so kind and gentle. This means that that person, that prophet, he was the best human being on the earth at that time. Okay? Sisters, I want to clarify for you at the beginning from that story that hardships are affecting the good and the bad. Okay? If you are a true believer in Allah, alhamdulillah, this doesn't mean that you will be not afflicted with hardships. No, this is not the rule. The rule is the one for everyone. Even for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, life is a test full of hardships and trials. At the time of Prophet Ayyub, he was the best human being on the earth, but still he will be afflicted with all kinds of afflictions. Okay, so that you always believe that afflictions is part of the test of the worldly life. None can escape it, but we can handle it according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iblis, overhearing all of this about the good character of Prophet Ayyub, he became annoyed. He planned to tempt Ayyub to corruption and disbelief. So he hastened to him. He tried to distract Prophet Ayub from his prayers by whispering to him about the good things in life. But Ayub was a true believer and he would not let evil thoughts tempt him. This disturbed Iblis more, thus he began to hate Ayub more and more. Iblis complained to Allah about Ayub. He said that although he was continuously glorifying Allah, he was not doing so out of his sincerity. This is how Iblis is trying against everyone. He is telling to Allah but to testify Allah so that his wealth should not be taken away. It was all show and all out of greed. Iblis said to Allah, if you remove his wealth, then you will find that his tongue will no longer mention your name and his praying will stop. Allah told Iblis that Ayub was one of the most sincere servants. He didn't worship him because of the favors. He worshipped Allah because he believed in the oneness of Allah. But to prove Iblis the depth of sincerity and patience, Allah allowed him. Allah wants to prove to Iblis that Ayub is a true believer and he is worshipping Allah out of the belief in Allah. So Allah allowed Iblis to do whatever he and his helper wished with Ayub's wealth. Okay, so it was that Ayub lost all his wealth. Then again, to cut it short, Iblis mentioned the same complaint to Allah that all the worshipping of Ayub is an act of showing off, so allow me to destroy his health. So Allah allowed him to destroy all his health. Then he mentioned to Allah that all of what Ayub is doing is because of his big family and relatives. So Allah allowed him to make that all his family were dead and all the people left him except his wife. At that time, Prophet Ayub became in a very difficult situation. He was extremely sick, extremely needy. None is around him except his wife. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Close relatives and friends, they deserted him. Only his kind wife stayed with him. In his hour of need, she showed her kindness on him and earned it for him. She remained his sole companion and she took care of him for 18 years of suffering. You see, sister, this is the reality regarding Prophet Ayub. He was sick. He was needy. He doesn't have anyone in this life except his wife for 18 years. Prophet Ayub called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will learn these two answered supplications for the cure of sickness of Prophet Ayub. The first one of them is mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah number 21, verse number 83 and 84. And actually, sister, this is the verse of the Quran which actually it is known that whoever is sick, okay, he must call on Allah with these words of Prophet Ayub, because Allah, out of his mercy, answered Prophet Ayub, who was extremely sick. So inshallah, Allah can shower every believer with the cure, so long you have the same belief, you have the same patience, and you have the same acceptance of Prophet Ayub. Now we will read from Surah number 21, verse number 83 and 84. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah is teaching us regarding the illness. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين. This is the supplication, sister. Okay, I will read it for you in English.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And remember Ayub cried to his Lord, verily distress has seized me, and you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy.
Okay, so sisters, I want you to realize the words of Prophet Ayub. In this supplication to Allah, Ayub doesn't appeal for his condition to be changed, because he wants to remain patient in adversity. nor does he suggest anything to his Lord, but he has the attitude of perfect humility before Allah. Prophet Ayyub said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, distress has seized me and you are the most merciful. That's it. He didn't say, oh Allah, why you left me 18 years? Oh Allah, this is too much for me. Oh Allah, I am the one suffering mostly on the earth. Oh Allah, I cannot tolerate more than this. Oh Allah, try to interfere quickly, otherwise I will be very upset. As we call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. Forgiveness of Allah. He just said to him after 18 years of severe suffering, distress has seized me. And you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. Now let us listen to the answer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah answered him, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍ وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we answered his call, and we removed the distress that was on him, and we restored his family to him, and the light thereof along with them, as a mercy from ourselves, and a reminder for all those who worship us.
So you see, sisters, how Allah answered. Allah immediately said, so we answered his call. Immediately answered his call, and we removed the distress. Because he said to Allah, distress has seized me. So Allah answered, and we removed the distress that was in him. And actually this is regarding the illness. Then Allah restored his family, okay, to him. And then Allah clarified that this is an act of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, sisters, again and again, it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which every one of us must be looking for, calling on him. You are the most merciful, shower me with your mercy. Okay? Don't say to Allah, I want, just shower me with your mercy. I am in difficult time. I am in great need. I am this and that. Shower me with your mercy. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more and more than your expectations. Maybe you just want to get rid of pain or whatever, okay? But the mercy of Allah will be more and more, you know, for you. So always ask Allah for His mercy, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that He said this is out of our mercy, because when Prophet Ayyub called on Allah, He told him, you are the most merciful. So when you call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always clarify to Allah that you believe that He is the most merciful. Accordingly, Allah will shower you with His mercy, which is beyond your expectations. Okay, this is, sister, how we can learn that every word of the Quran has a meaning. This supplication is a very short one, but it has great meaning and it has a great reward because of the message in the supplication. Prophet Ayyub is saying to Allah, you are the most merciful and I am distressed. Allah removed the distress and showered him with the mercy. Allah returned his health. Allah returned his wealth. Allah gave him a family and more. Okay? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, sisters, try to memorize these two supplications. Okay? And you can memorize it in your language, not in Arabic, and you don't understand the meaning. Allah knows your intention. If you can memorize it in Arabic and understand the meaning, all praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. If you cannot, okay, memorize it in English and call on Allah, and Allah, alhamdulillah, is the most merciful. He knows that you don't know Arabic. Allah is answering everyone in every language. Okay, now we will learn about the second answered supplication of Prophet Ayyub, in which is mentioned in the Quran. It is mentioned in Surah number 38, verse number 40. It is also related to the recovery, Surah number 38. Verse number 40. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Sorry, 41. Surah number 38, verse number 41.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر عبدنا أيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الشيطان بنصب وعذاب. Okay. This is the supplication.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And remember our slave Ayub when he invoked his Lord saying, verily Shaitan has touched me with distress and torment.
Okay, you see sisters, as we mentioned in the story, it was Iblis the Shaitan who was all the time jealous from Prophet Ayub. When Prophet Ayub called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't say to Allah, oh Allah, you are the one who caused for me all the illness and the sickness and the torment. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the source of any troubles. He said to Allah, Shaitan, Satan, has touched me with distress and torment. So all the time, sisters, when you call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always believe that the answer will come from Allah, the mercy will come from Allah, but the torment and the illness and the sickness is from Iblis. So this is how we learn from this supplication of Prophet Ayub. He called on Allah mentioning that, if I have a trouble, it is not from you, O Allah, it is from Iblis. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered him in verse number 42, 43, and 44. Allah said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Urkud birijlika hadha mukhtasalun baridun wa sharab, wa wahabna lahu ahlahu wa mithlahum ma'ahum rahmatan minna wa zikra li uli al-albab. 42 and 43.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah said to him, strike the ground with your foot. This is a spring of water to wash in, cool and a refreshing drink. And we gave him back his family, and along with them the light thereof, as a mercy from us and a reminder for those who understand.
You see, sister, this is a reminder, not for everyone, a reminder for those whom they understand. Okay, they understand that everything is up to Allah. Allah can cure everyone. Allah can do everything. But Allah is testing every one of us to prove her reality. Okay, when Prophet Ayub called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said to him, strike the ground with your foot. So a spring of water came. He washed with that water and he became healthy 100%, as if he was never sick. Okay? This sister, this is a message. Okay? The message from this verse is not that everyone is in need of a spring of water, you know, to be cured from illness. No. The message is that Allah can do everything. Allah can cure the most severely ill patient out of his knowledge and out of his mercy. So when I will read this verse of the Quran, I will have the hope that as Allah cured Prophet Ayub from a sickness for 18 years, Allah inshallah can cure me and can cure every human being. And how Allah will cure, this is none of our actually knowledge. This is only up to the one who can cure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Then Allah clarified that he gave him back his family and more. Then Allah said, as a mercy from us. Again, sisters, I am not supposed, as I listen to some people calling on Allah, oh Allah, you took my health, give me my health back. Yes, Allah has to give. No one is supposed to say to Allah, you took from me my health, oh Allah, why you took my health? I was healthy, I am supposed to be healthy, give me my health. As if, you know, I am commanding Allah to give me. What is this? You are just handful of dust. Allah is giving you an opportunity to prove your reality for very few days on the earth, then all of us will be dust, like the dust of the earth. And the Lord will be the one to meet us again, and out of His mercy, inshallah, He will forgive our sins and send us to paradise. So when I call on Him, I am supposed to call on Him with the true belief. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the blessings in life is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None can take anything or get anything except through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I call on Allah, I am supposed to call Him, Oh Allah, shower me with your mercy. Oh Allah, you are the planner of everything, but I have my hope in your mercy. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am just a servant, I am a handful of dust, and it is only your mercy. When you call on Allah with the proper language, Allah will answer to you. This is what we are supposed to learn from these verses of the Quran. Always call on Allah while you believe that it is only His mercy that will save you from everything. So, I am a servant, I am needy, I am poor, I am weak, I am sick, I am helpless, but I am looking for your mercy. You are the most merciful. When you call on Allah, always use the name Arhamur Rahimeen. You are the most merciful. These are the ways of answering the supplication. Inshallah, Allah will answer you as Allah answered Prophet Ayyub. I will give you now two more supplication, answered supplication for recovery from illness taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The supplication is in the name of Allah three times, and I seek refuge with Allah. Hey, sisters, if you want to write this supplication, I will mention it to you slowly now. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The supplication is in the name of Allah three times. I seek refuge with Allah and with His power from the evil that I find and that I fear. Seven times.
And from the evil
that I find and that I fear. Seven times. Yes, I will repeat supplication. The proof of acceptance narrated that a man called, one of the companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, called Uthman ibn al-As, he made a complaint of pain to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, place your hand at the place where you feel pain in your body and say that supplication. Okay, so you must place your hand at the place you feel the pain, okay, and you mention this supplication, okay. Uthman said, when I invoked with this supplication, Allah removed all what I complained, and that I kept advising my kins and others with this supplication. Okay? So, sisters, when you supplicate, you must have the true belief that, inshallah, Allah will make for me a relief. Maybe you will not be recovered 100%, but you will get rid of some of the pain. You will feel more better. Okay? There must be an effect for that supplication, inshallah, but when you mention the supplication, you must mention it with the full belief that it will be active. Okay? This is number one. Okay? And the proof is from the man whom Prophet Muhammad advised him. He said that Allah removed all what I had complained. The second answer supplication is related to when you visit a sick person. Okay, when you visit a sick person, the supplication, the answer supplication is, I will mention to you slowly again, I ask Allah